Okay, there is another title, and which is the general theme is about noise and controllability, and this started at KITP. Basically, I would thank a lot to Lorenza, which started this, I forgot how many years ago, I don't want to say, when I was last here. So I hope I'll be inspired again to get some new ideas and to work on them. So we didn't finish to work on that, so this shows. Okay, so what is the issue here? So I'm going to start with kind of general themes about coherent control, which we have been, I think, covering in this case. And I would say this is the basic. We want to control interference of matter waves. And the control knobs are external fields. So this is what I defined by coherent control. So these are the things we want to do. And you could say I can divide it into these three subtopics. And I'm going to talk about controllability. And this is an existence theorem. I have my quantum device. I want to control it. And the first question, is it possible in principle? I didn't say that I want to solve it in practice, but is there a solution to this problem? So this is a problem of controllability. And then you could say there are other things that have been alluded to already. You want to synthesize a control, and you can optimize or find an optimal control. And all these things people have already talked about in this conference. But about controllability, I think I'm the first one I'm going to talk about this issue of controllability. So I would define controllability in two ways. There's weak controllability, which is state to state. I take an initial quantum state, and after a certain amount of time, I want to reach a final time state. And there's strong controllability, and that's to generate the unitary operator, which is much more difficult than this, but this is strong controllability. And if you want to do quantum information processing or other things, this is what you want to do. But I'll look at the weak controllability because will be my subject. Now, you could say my control Hamiltonian has this H0, which is the drift Hamiltonian, and I have controls. And X, J are my control operators. So you could almost always put it in such a structure. And U, J of T are my control fields. And I wrote this for this control for, in this case, for a closed quantum system. And just to make this a little bit easier from my point of view, I'll put these x's into an algebra, Lie algebra. So this makes analysis a little bit easier, but in the worst case, you get a trivial algebra. So let's think about weak control. Usually, you want to start from an eigenstate because it's stationary. And I want to start from one eigenstate into another eigenstate with a certain amount of time. This would be weak. And strong, I have to solve the equation of motion for the unitary operator, and I want to start from my identity operator and reach my target. So this is things that we have already talked about, so I won't go more than that except to use these definitions. Now, I'm going to use this theory. There are a lot of theorems which come from control theory about strong controllability. I cite here, too, this work of Clark and Tarn from 1983, this work of Hirsch later, but there are earlier works, mostly in the community of control theory, not so much in the community of quantum mechanics, which basically state that if the commutators that are generated between H0 and the control algebra span the trivial Hilbert space, then it's completely controllable. Then the existence theory we can use. So I'm going to assume that. And here is my example of a Lie algebra. Here I want to park the car. And what does it mean that I want to generate commutators? You know, I can't take this car and move it directly sideways, not with this car, that this is what I can afford to buy. But if I go like that, I can generate the motion, and that eventually parks the car. So what do? I create commutators by going forward and backwards. It didn't exist in my direct control, and I found the solution look perfect parking. Another example, just to see, let's say I have the harmonic oscillator, and my control algebra is moving the position and momentum with some fields, and this system is not completely controllable. And probably most people know here that all what we can do if we start from a ground state, we can generate a coherent state. But if we want to make a cat state, this is impossible with this control field. What I need to do is break this linearity, and if I start with a nonlinear oscillator, then this problem, which is not controllable to completely controllable to start with, becomes controllable. So you can see the nonlinearity is very important, and usually I like to put the nonlinearity in H0, but sometimes you can put it in the control operators also. So this is just to give this notion of controllability. And we saw already optimal control solutions. This is a solution to do a Fourier transform. Here's the Wigner. It looks extremely complex. And here's the spectral bandwidth. And you could say, ask a question. Here's another pulse for cooling. Is this possible at all? And the main point is in the laboratory that you have to think about that I'm going to add noise. So when I talk about noise in this context, I'm not going to talk about environmental noise. I'm going to talk about noise that you can't avoid, noise that comes from the control. So here's my new control problem. I want to do state-to-state control, so the weak version. My Hamiltonian has a drift part and the control part, but I have some stochastic noise on my controls. And this is impossible to avoid, because if you think about it, what you want to do as a control, you want to be fast. If I want to be fast, there's always going to be some shot noise or something in the controls. And no matter how much you work, if you do nothing, you can isolate your system. But if you want to do something, there's noise. So this is the main point here. And then the real question is how to model this noise. And I'll go back to that later. And we took a certain line about this. And there's a related work by Konstantin Brief, who's attacking this in a different way. And I think the results are in a way similar. But the point is that we have here, this is going to be noise, and we assume it's Markovian. In this case, we can do that, because if my control is fast, it's always fast in the time scale of the system. So I can assume it's delta correlated Gaussian noise, and that makes our life easier, because then I can take an old result of Gouin and Kusakovsky, this is even before Lindblad, that tells us that the master equation for this type of Gaussian process is this double commutator with this noise term here before. And this is something nice, because this is equivalent also in weak quantum measurement. We get the same type of master equation, and which is important to understand. Why do we want to use this result? Because it means, what does this noise do? It localizes a system on, we'll see, generalized coherent states that are associated to this algebra. So you can say the noise is kind of measuring my system, and it will limit the controllability, because it means I'm going to fall on this manifold of this algebra. So this is the structure. Now, what can we do about it? First, we need a few definitions. First of all, the purity. And I said I want to go from pure state to another pure state, and this is a definition of the purity, the trace of all squared. And the other thing we have is a fidelity, which is the overlap with my target. And because of this noise, the final state won't be a pure state, so I wrote it like that. And let's say that I'm not very far from a pure state, so there's a relation between the fidelity and the purity. So if I calculate the decrease in purity, I can get the fidelity out of that. So what do we really want if I want to go from state to state? I want to stay as close as possible to a pure state, and I want to see how much my noise takes me away from that. And if the purity loss is too large, then I can't get my objective. And complete controllability is not true anymore. Now, in a way, I allow some leverage. I don't want to get 100%. I want to put some epsilon around my target and say, this is good enough. Here, this is purity. You'll find many typos, so you can entertain yourself instead of getting nice pictures, finding my typos. Okay, so this is an equation. Here, this comes from this paper. Equation of motion for the change in purity. And you just take the time derivative of the purity, and you can relate it here to the noise on one hand, and to the uncertainty of the operator of the algebra. And this is just the definition of the uncertainty. So what we see from here, that the loss of purity is related to the uncertainty of my system with respect to the control operators. So what does it mean? When the uncertainty is large, I'm going to lose purity fast. So for most cases, you can see that this will scale as the number of states in Hilbert space squared. And if I look for coherent states, which have minimum uncertainty, this will scale only as n, the size of my Hilbert space. So already from this equation, I can see that there is kind of a division between things that fit my algebra and things that are generic, which have large uncertainty, and they're going to lose their purity fast. So this is, in a way, the main point of what I'm going to go. And I won't go through the whole proofs here, but I'll just give us some ideas about how to do that. And that's related to work that other people did. Here's my state to state from psi I to psi f. And I write it in an energy H0 eigenstate. So here's my amplitude, and here phases. And what I want to do, I want to change from an initial state to a final state. And I want some metric, how much work I have to do, or how different is initial state from the final state. So what I claim that I don't care about the phases. And the reason is that if I want to adjust the phases, all what I have to do is wait. Because free propagation eventually, if it's a generic Hamiltonian, I'll get a state anyway. So what's important is what I call an orbit, is how much I change the amplitude. So that's why I wrote it this way. And the metric that we defined, that we don't want this amplitude to be changed, we define it to be bound by this a certain epsilon, and this will be my metric, the change in amplitude of the state from psi I to psi f, and I'm all the time in the limit of a perturbation theory of small changes, so we can get that. And once we define this metric, I don't want to go through this, but I put it here because after that, if you want to look at the details, you can look at the talk. You get to this result, which is already also known in the community, that there is bounds on the minimum control time. So this is the control time, and this is my metric. So if the control time has to be proportional to this epsilon square, and what you find here, UK, is the average amplitude of my control field. So you know if I don't apply any control, I don't get anything. If I can allow myself a very large amplitude, I can shorten the time. And it's also related to this, you could say, the largest eigenvalue of my control operator. And this also, you can say, should scale as n, the size of the Hilbert space. So you could say it's a different way of obtaining similar results. And the assumption that this epsilon is not too big, but we get something that intuitively we understand. Here is, you can say this is the energy, the control energy, average control energy, and this is a metric, and the time has to be bigger than that. So this gives me some time or some bound on the time that I want to get control. And now the question is, during the time that I apply my control, how much noise do I accumulate? If I can do things very fast and I don't accumulate any noise, things will be good. I can avoid. This is what the people think they can do. But on the other hand, the noise will be proportional to the control. So really, there is a delicate trade-off, and this is what we want to figure out in this case. So we're looking for bounds on this purity loss. And we take basically the equations I showed before. And we kind of we have this average noise here. And before, we had the average control amplitude. And you can work through this algebra, which I, again, I'm going fast, and bringing an intermediate result that we can say that this purity loss is, you have the metric here, and the ratio between the average amplitude of noise to the average amplitude of the control field. And we have to evaluate this part, this min-max part here, which we have done. And eventually, we get to this result, and this is an important result that I want to show, that this ratio between the noise and average amplitude, the purity loss has to be will be larger than this ratio divided by some number of order of unity, the metric, and the size of my Hilbert space. So now the real question is, how does this ratio work? How does it scale with n? And so this is the next step that we have to think about. But this already tells us something, that the if the noise is completely independent of UK, you could say you can control that. But what we understand, that if I want to apply stronger control, I'm going to have more noise. So we have to evaluate this ratio, and this depends on my noise model. So this is what we're going to do at the next step. And this is the noise model that I'm going to use here, that the noise on the operator K, there's some static noise that is always there, and there's amplitude, and there's a part that's proportional to the amplitude square. And this, okay, you can argue about this noise, but I think this is reasonable to think like that, that in weak field, you would assume that this is independent of the amplitude of the field. So if there's, if the field is zero, if the field is turned off, there's no noise at all. And if the field is turned on, you get more noise, which is coming from your controller. So using this assumption, we can bound for large amplitude control, we can get this amplitude of my noise, and we get it that it's proportional to the UK, the control field, and we out of that get this relation. And if we stick that into what I had before, into the expression over here, I can get this inequality, which tells me something about my purity loss, that the purity loss has to be will be larger than what we have here divided by n. So if I move this n to this side, it means that the purity loss will be in general will be proportional to the size of my Hilbert space. So this means that eventually, if my Hilbert space becomes large enough, my purity loss is going to overwhelm, and I won't be able to control my system. So this is, you can say, the necessary condition for state-to-state controllability. And it shows me, if my Hilbert space is large enough, I'm not going to be able to do state-to-state controllability, which also means that if I can't do state-to-state controllability, I can't do unitary controllability, which is stronger. So even the weak version is impossible in this case. Now, here's the summary of what they said, that even approximate state-to-state controllability, this is what they're looking at, and the purity loss is unmanageable, and you can say large systems are uncontrollable. And some of this is, we have modified results that have been in this paper, and part of it is due to discussions with Konstantin Brief, so we did a better job. And here is this summary of this part. And now I want to go to another part which says, what can we do, not what can't we do? Because a negative result is something that what's a positive result? And the positive results relies on these generalized coherent states. So generalized coherent states are states that have minimum uncertainty with respect to an algebra which is associated, algebra of operators. So there are many examples of that, and I'll show you an example of generalized coherent states. And what we see that they are immune to this noise, or relatively immune. So sometimes they're called pointer states. These are the states that survive the noise. And the noise that we're talking about in this case is the noise on the controls. So here is an example of I created cat states. And you can say I put these double commutators. So this is this algebra that has and noise on X and noise on P. And just to show you, demonstrate this idea, here we'll see free propagation of cat states. This is a Wigner plot. So basically, the middle David taught us is the coherence between these two cats. And you can say they're cats because they're exponentially localized far away. So this is without noise. And if I put a tiny bit of noise, I lost the coherence. So I started with a superposition, and I got a mixture of two cat states. So this is the idea that you can say these eventually will also change their shape due to this master equation, but what, in short term, they keep their structure. Okay, so to demonstrate that, we tried a few systems. This is one system, this Bose-Hubbard model of tunneling Hamiltonian from one side to the other. And here we have the nonlinear term, which will be our H0. And we can change this into a spin Hamiltonian, like this. So this is my H0, and these will be my controls. So my controls are SU2 algebra. And you can say this is an easy exercise. This is because we know exactly how many states are in our Hilbert space in this case. So this we decided, since we had good methods to solve this the Schrödinger equation exactly for that and to solve the control, we decided to work on that. So here's a master equation for noise on the controls in this case. And we want to see what happens here. And just another point, there are generalized coherent states for this SU2 algebra, and which are basically, you could say, the points on the Bloch sphere, North Pole, South Pole, East Pole. That's what I would like. So we decided to experiment with that, because you could say there's mathematics is good, but let's try a few things. So we wanted to start from a generalized coherent state to a generalized coherent state, and let's say from JZ to JX. And these simulations were done without noise. So as a problem of optimal control theory, and we can do also guided. And what do I mean by guided? I can play with the size of my Hilbert space. So I can choose a small Hilbert space, let's say 10 states, find the field, and then use that field as a pilot for my coherent control to find a much larger Hilbert space. So this I can do as a guided, and I can create cats. So I can create this cat or other cats. So I can start from a generalized coherent state to a cat state, or I can go the other way around. It doesn't really matter in a way. So these are the things that we tried, and as a function of my Hilbert space size. And what do you get? Okay, this is, we saw things like that. This is a number of iterations to get a certain fidelity. If j equals 5, you get it very fast. And you can say there is a fast deterioration of the convergence of the method that we used here to get fidelity. So here with 320 states, 200 iterations doesn't get you very far. But if you're willing to beat on it, eventually you can get a good solution also here. So we see there's a big sensitivity to the size of Hilbert space, the solutions we're looking for optimal control. And here we're using this guided field from j equals 5, and we're guiding it to j 160. And we can see that we get very good solutions very fast. So it means that these generalized coherent states have this kind of classical-like idea that if you find the field to drive them, it's good irrespective of the size of Hilbert space. And this is a pilot field. You can correct it a little bit. But let's make cats. Here's a cat. These are cats in Jerusalem. So people have been in Jerusalem know them. And here we started with j equals 10 as our guiding field. And there's no resemblance. Once you move from here, you add one extra state to your Hilbert space, you get a completely different control solution. So what it means that these problems become, as the size of Hilbert space grows, become more than exponentially difficult. And so their scaling is very bad in this case. And this is even without noise. So you can say even control without noise, we can use this kind of criteria to understand what it will be an easy control task, which is more classical-like, and to what will be a difficult one, which is to make cats. We tried it with other systems, with oscillators. So again, coherent state to coherent state works very well. And for cat, in this case, what we did, we played with H bar. So effectively, it's changing the size of Hilbert space. And you can see same potential, just changing H bar. And you see cats have a kind of a very narrow range that you could use the field. And if you go for a coherent state to a coherent state, you get a very large area of stability. And we can generalize to we chose this chaotic system, the Henn and Heil system, as also to try these ideas. In this case, it's a nonlinear Hamiltonian, but still my controls are linear. So what matters is the algebra of my controls in this way. And we find these general ideas about the same, that generalized coherent states to cat states is a tough problem. And it changes once you change Hilbert space, the control field changes completely. And if you want to be classical like, you can stay. Now, there's also something that Hirsch tried here. In a way, this nonlinearity helps you because it means that there are less, the number of commutators that you need to basically spread the whole Hilbert space is smaller. So you can do things faster in a nonlinear system than you do with a linear system because you can see the depth of the commutators is more shallow, so you can do your controls easier. But in most cases, you can't really choose your controls. So I'm getting here to the end. You see, I'm in time. And I would say, what I want to really raise here is a discussion, because this is a toy model. So you can say in this toy model, it means that we can solve that. And What it means is control, this toy model, that the number of controls that I have here is fixed. And this is a severe restriction. If you think about models of quantum computing, the number of controls increases. So I don't have, so this is, you could say, if I want to think about my electromagnetic field, I have three polarizations, so this would be a good model for that. So if I want to control everything just by electromagnetic field, so this model is correct. Now, if you have additional controls that you can address, so the number of controls also increases with the size of Hilbert space, then this is a more complex type of argument, and what I did here doesn't answer that. So I would say that for me, at least, it's an open system. Usually you assume that the number of control scales is a logarithm of n. And this is what I said all the time, that there's always Markovian noise. You can't get rid of that, also in the general case. And we saw that what we lose here in this case is the purity. And everything here was done without an environment. I'm not fighting the environment. I'm not trying to do decoherent free subspace. This is something that's unavoidable. And we found this point here, that the purity loss is proportional to the uncertainty, which means that if you want to do control tests for a large system, you should, doesn't mean that you can't do that, but it means that the uncertainty cat states in the way are the worst, because you take two coherent states, you make them as far as possible from each other, and so these are the worst cases. So if you want to make small cat kittens, which are very close together, this is something that will be possible, or at least more controllable than the general case. And here's my master equations. And so this is what I would call classical type of control, because it's independent of size of Hilbert space. And then you could argue that you don't need interference for that. And so this is the last conclusion, that this control fields that make cat states are unscalable. And with this, I'll stop here.
Okay, questions? So, Ronnie, I want to understand how general this really is, this question about unavoidable Markov noise. If we're trying to do something like spin control, the kind that the toy model that you looked at, where you're, or the kind of thing we heard, for example, from Stefan Glaser, where you're using big magnetic fields to control lots of spins.
Yeah. So this would be, what you're, just to make the point, this is exactly the case that I'm taking care of, because he has three directions in space, so basically can break it to three fields.
I mean, typically the noise that would be associated with the magnetic field wouldn't be some kind of Markov noise, it would be some long time scale correlated noise. And in fact, what we saw early in the third day of the conference in Polyessen's experiments, those were, you know, 16 dimensional Hilbert spaces. So what is that? You know, that's like a spin 9 or something like that. And the, you know, fidelities that were achieved were well over 99%. In the randomized benchmarking. There's other kinds of noise, but it's not limited in proportional to the amplitude in the way that you're assuming. So I'm trying to understand what physically motivates the noise model that you're giving.
I would say the following. If you want to, the way I like to think about, if I want to do something, I turn the knob. If I turn the knob, my power supplies or everything are going to have some shot noise or something. You can't avoid that. So it could be that in the experiments that I've done, they didn't reach the limit. It's a scaling limit. So if you're overwhelmed by correlated noise, you won't see that. Eventually, this is going, what I claimed, that eventually this is going to kick in. What is the n, the size of the Hilbert space that this happens? I don't know. That's system dependent. But this is more of a scaling argument.
So, Ronnie, one comment and one question from me. The comment is still that from the point of view of fault-tolerant quantum computation, this still is something like it doesn't put a no-go because we should put in the error correction step and see the scaling of resources for that, right?
No, I don't think so, because
Markovian noise in the control as well within
you're embedding it in a larger system, you're not doing.
Yes, yeah, but that's the premise.
But I say if you add controllers to this model, I don't have the solution. Maybe that could be worked out, but if I want to increase my Hilbert space, it won't change. It will become worse.
No, but the point is, like, if we do introduce error recovery, like we do for tolerant procedures, we ought to be able to fit these into the standard models of error of fault tolerant error correction. That's the comment. My real question is, in terms of generalized entanglement, which is where this came from, you have shown that if you want to take generalized and unentangled state to one which has generalized entanglement, namely something which is a generalized coherent state to a cat.
Yeah. Hmm?
This is a hard process.
Yeah.
The controls are non-scalable, whereas if you want to just go from a generalized coherent state to another, that's easy. You have scalable controls. So what is the counterpart in terms of just conventional entanglement? What you are saying is that entanglement generation is more costly to do.
But entanglement, in a way, is algebra dependent.
Yes,
so,
of course.
So what it means, if you want to do something like that, you should change your control. You should change your control algebra to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do allow the analog of what I would call the generalized entangling operation, you should have scalable solution there too. We can talk.
Okay. I just wanted to pick up on the error correction. I guess if you have error correction which allows you to reach fidelities close to one, then it would be nice to see how that could be incorporated into this algebraic picture, because then somehow by adding auxiliary parts to the Hilbert space, you're managing to maintain the complete spanning of the algebra on the reduced original Hilbert space.
I think you have to be careful what you are doing. So if you're just, depends how what's your model of error correction. If I add controllers, so then I open the discussion. So then I don't. If I just increase my Hilbert space, and you can say I built something into it, that won't help. So I would say this is another open question. I'm not sure it's better, but at least you could say this is an open question. Now you say, okay, let's add controllers and a dissipator to my system, and will that help? So, I would say that at this state is a question of belief. And what we want is hard evidence, or at least some mathematical evidence that this should help.
Ronnie, if I understand, the fidelity that you're using, or purity, would be Taylor expanded, and the first term would be the second order expansion. Is that right? The Hessian, is that right?
Yeah. I would say these results would be very close to looking at the hashing in the way you're doing it.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about that with regard to state to state. You can prove that you can't drive the hessian out, and you can't drive the hessian spectrum to zero, which would create hyper robustness. However, that doesn't mean that you can't drive the spectrum down to be extremely small with particular controls, and that's been numerically seen. So there are regions of control that are very, very robust, although it's not hyper robust, but can be extremely robust. Simply, you know, picking an optimal control, there's no reason whatsoever to expect it to be good with regard to robustness. You have to seek it.
The robustness that I'm talking about here is by increasing the size of Hilbert space. And it's not, it was a, looking at my, once I found the solution, they have the robustness that we know, right? They're robust. But if I increase my Hilbert space by one,
that's, I understand. That's a different. I'm not addressing that.
I would say this. It's a different type of robustness.
Okay, one more.
A couple of comments. One. For the questions that Ivan asked, physical motivation of this noise model. I think in many situations.
I don't hear. You.
In many situations, there will be a colored noise which is quite strong in the system and much weaker white noise. So after your optimal control fights against the colored noise, this small contribution from the white noise is kind of your fundamental floor below which you cannot fall. And the second comment is that
I would agree with that. The white noise you can't fight out.
Yeah. So in a program I'm using, I'm look at unitary control, not state-to-state control. Actually, it's possible to look at any number of controls. It can be a fixed number as you're looking, or proportional to the number of qubits as in quantum computation. So this does not make much difference. So the main contribution is that white noise is contribution of the white noise is proportional to control time, and that would rise with the system size. But number of controls will be a relatively small contribution to that, which will just multiply the control time.
Okay, are there more questions? So maybe I can ask you, what will actually change if you somehow correlate your noise that you have in there? You assumed uncorrelated white noise.
Yeah, I assume that each control is independent.
Yeah, but if you make it from the same, say if the same laser driving and this is noisy, but then you split it up to do your control?
It won't change. It won't change this result at all.
So you're
because it's the minimum. I optimize for that. That won't change. I go to the. It doesn't. That won't help. In this case. But I think what Konstantin said is even stronger. If he says that it's independent of the number of controls, so this is even a stronger result than what I have. Yeah. No, but it means that if you can't avoid white noise, this is the point.
Okay, then thank you. So the next talk is by Michael Birchak from Sydney on filtering classical noise by quantum control.